Talk about this morning, when the path comes to an end. When the path comes to an end. And I want to speak this morning from Exodus. And we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 14. And there we see God bringing deliverance to a nation of people. And They come to the end of their path. There's no way through, naturally speaking. And we often find those parallels working in our life, where on the path that we are on, we find that we come to an end. We find there is no way forward. It's like there's a dead end. I can't go forward any further. But the wonderful thing about it is, or the walk of faith, that we do go forward. We don't stop. That's the remarkable thing. And that can only happen with God. Now, the children of Israel, we know the story, in bondage, crying out for deliverance. God raises a servant, Moses, and he comes unto them, and he challenges Pharaoh, who in many ways was a type of God in those days. And there he challenges, or God challenges through Moses, to let God's people go. And finally, after 10 warnings, he then releases them. He lets them go. And they find themselves going into the wilderness. And they face the Red Sea. And Pharaoh then changes his mind, like he did so many times. And he decides to go after them. And he's going to bring them back. Or at least he thinks he's going to bring them back. Now, Pharaoh, of course, is like a type of Satan, the devil. The devil very often doesn't give up that easily. He can put on quite a fight. And it seems as though everything goes wrong. It seems as though what we thought was God's ways, or God wanted me to do this, to do it this way, we suddenly find that the battle is on even more. But God is in control. You know, often, God actually allows those battles to get worse. For one reason, and that is to show his power. And God was going to show to Israel that day his power. That he is not only faithful, but that he can and will deliver his people. And remember that Israel was on a path. And that path came to an end because there was sea in front of them. And they didn't know, really, up until then, what was going to happen. They hadn't any idea at that point that the seas were going to part and that they were going to go through by dry land. No, they didn't envisage that at all. And it's exactly the same with us, with what we go through in our trials, not only individually, but corporately as a church as well. So I want us, if we will, let's turn to Exodus, the book of Exodus, and let's read this chapter. And I'm calling this morning, as I've said, When the Paths Come to an End. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Ziphon, before it shall you camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored over Pharaoh, over all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Now, isn't it interesting? We all know this story very well, but look what Pharaoh had gone through. Look at the curses that have been pronounced over him. And the last curse, of course, was the slaying of the elder son, the elder children, eldest sons. And so there was great lamenting going on that night when the angel of death went through and slayed all these elder boys. And yet, here he is, after all of that, he hardens his heart yet further. And that reveals, it epitomizes Satan, what heart he has, how hard his heart is against God. Because that's really the powers of darkness that's working through this man. But let's carry on with it. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea, besides Pehiroth, before Baal-Ziphon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were in great fear. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Praise God, there's still hope for us. God is about to do a great miracle there. What do we see there? Praise God, the Lord will deliver us. He'll bring us out of the devil's hands. We've got the victory in Jesus and everything. Nothing like that. Great fear. Not just fear, great fear. They are trembling. They are trembling because Pharaoh is on their tail. So I always take comfort when I read these things here, because God is about to bring a deliverance on a nation. And there's great fear here. So there's always hope. There's always hope. Let's carry on with it. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now notice what that fear is doing. That fear has affected their confession. They want to go back. It had been easier than us to die out here in the wilderness. And that's why fear will always hinder our belief, our confession. And that is why God brings our paths to an end, to do two things: to deliver us from fear and to change that confession, that our confession lines up with God's word. If there's anything that God is doing at the moment in this church, it is certainly that with a lot of us. Because in the natural, a lot of us, our paths have virtually come to an end, have they not? But this is where we see the deliverance of the Lord. Let's carry on with it. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. There's the preacher preaching the word of God to try and help them and encourage them. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, we need to really grasp this one. God says he will fight for you. Now, why does God say he's going to fight for you? Well, there's several reasons why God fights for us. Firstly, God will always fight where his glory and his name is concerned. And God has placed his glory upon you. He's placed his name upon you. The Godhead is in you. So God, first and foremost, is going to fight on your behalf. Now that's wonderful. We can really take comfort in that. And the other thing as well is, he's going to fight for you, because if he doesn't, you'll be devoured by the enemy.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. So there's the other reason why God says he fights for you. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. There we are. There's faith speaking. Just go forward. Lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. So there we are. They've come to the end of their road. The path, they can't go any further because there's sea there. And he said, go forward. It's like you stand there and you say, yeah, sure, go forward. Go forward. On what? On what? You know, out it all comes, doesn't it? Out it all comes, the frustration, the anger, the resentment. Go forward, this preacher says. Are we all going to get drowned if we go forward? That was the word of faith speaking. But lift thou up the rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And there is revelation. They didn't know that until that point, when they came to the end of that path, that road, then the revelation of God's will came out. That is why God doesn't give you a revelation of his will until you come to the end of yourself. Then it comes. Then God speaks. Then God shows that way of escape. And our trials are exactly the same. As we just stay, as we go through it, then God speaks and he shows you that way of deliverance. This is a principle that works many times in your life and my life and with this church. Well, it goes on. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honour over Pharaoh, and over all his hosts, over his chariots, and over his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I, the Lord, when I have gotten me honour over Pharaoh, over his chariots, and over his horsemen. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to those, so that the one came not near the other all that night. So their God is protecting. He's giving guidance to the children of Israel, even through that night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Just think about that. They went over on dry land. Now, only God could do that. It's sea. It's water. Now, if anybody knows about water, it's wet. It's wet. And yet, here it is as a miracle. They go over on dry land. Again, another miracle. That God can, through water, cause not only a pathway for you to go through, but you're going to go through on dry land. In other words, you're not going to get your shoes wet. Wonderful. See, only God can do that. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So what's taking place there is, while they're carrying on, they're walking, the Egyptians are coming in after them, and so God begins to close the seas behind them, but they're carrying on walking through dry land until they all get out. Isn't that remarkable what God is doing there? So they're beginning to part, but by this time, you don't get any fear coming from the children of Israel. The waters are parting. They're all going to come over us. No way. They've got faith now. They're seeing the mighty hand of God at work destroying Pharaoh's army. And believe me, that was an army. For those days, it was frightening. That was probably the greatest army on planet Earth. Well, let's finish it off. And it says here, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Very interesting. What do the children of Israel do? It says they feared the Lord and his servant Moses. And that is what is also to come back on the house of God in these last days. We say that we want the fear of God, but a lot of the fear of God comes when you see miracles like that happen. Because it's awesome. It just makes us so minute in the mighty hand of God. How great and how big he is. So this fear of God that we're also believing for the house of God, comes also as a result of miracles taking place. Which is wonderful. So our paths that we tread at times, they just come to an end, don't they? And some of us, I know, in this church, your path has come to an end. Well, praise God. You're at the right place at the right time. Because you are going to see those waters part. And when God brings us to that place, and we know when we're at that place, when it is hopeless, there is nothing more, there's nothing more left, when you're completely at the end of yourself, then the revelation of God's will for deliverance, he then speaks. He can't speak before, and there's a reason why he doesn't speak before. Because we get our minds into it. We'll try to work it out. We'll try to analyze. And that's why very often God will only speak to us what it appears to be at the last minute. That's why it seems so often that God's late, doesn't it? You know, there have been times in our walk when we just thought, Lord, you're late. You're just late. But God isn't. He's always on time. And very often it's because he doesn't want us getting our minds into it, trying to control it, trying to work it out, and so forth. He won't do this. And he doesn't do it. He won't do this because, again, as I keep saying, it's about his name. It's about his glory. He isn't going to let his glory, his name, be brought down to man's level. So that is why God very often speaks into our life right at the last minute. And to us, it seems as though he's late. He should have turned up a week ago. And here it is, it's a week late. But not with God. His timing is absolutely spot on. Spot on every time. Well, let's look at a few more scriptures about this path that we're on. Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verses 8 to 12. Psalm 106, verses 8 to 12. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his power to be known. And that is what God is doing with this church. And that is what he's doing with you. He is doing it not because he saw anything special about you or me, or he saw anything different. He is doing it for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. That's the reason. That's why you're here today. That's why I'm here today. It is for that very purpose. He rebuked the Red Sea also. It was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. So these paths that we come to an end on are also redemptive. It's tailor-made for your salvation. The children of Israel had to go through the Red Sea for a remnant to be saved. So it was also redemptive. It was about salvation. It was about preserving a seed. Even though, of course, the children of Israel rebelled in the wilderness, and we're shown that only two, Joshua and Caleb, went through. But I can assure you, Joshua and Caleb were amongst that lot going through. So it was also redemptive. So your paths, your trials, and when they seem to come to an end, is also because it's redemptive. It's about you making it into the kingdom of God. So there's another reason why we can hold on when it looks completely contrary. We hold on because this is all about my making it into the kingdom of God. Every step of faith, every path that I go through, that God opens up for me, is also redemptive. Let's also look at Hebrews 12, verse 13. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So, of course, Paul is speaking about lifting up those hands that hang down, those feeble knees, when we often feel like that. We just feel we've come to the end of ourselves. And he says, make those straight paths for your feet. So there we are. Get back on the path. That is what God has for you. And you see, sometimes we want to get off that path. But Paul says that is the path that is designed for you and me. And God knows that path because Jesus has gone before and he's prepared the way for this. You see, this path is vital and we mustn't deviate from it. And that's the point. Because as I've just said, these paths are also redemptive. And we, all of us, it is human nature, we want to have an easy way out. It's human nature, and we'll always look for any easy way, any easy solution. But God says, no, that is the path I've decreed, that is the path you must go down. Because that is where you are going to see my mighty power at work in your life. And we all try at times to deviate from it. And this is where praise, worship, is so powerful. When you just feel you're down, when you just feel I can no longer walk this path that God has set for me and whatever, just start as Paul says there, lift those hands up, start to worship God, get in the Spirit, use those tongues, start to praise His name, and you're going to find then that God's grace, His mercy keeps you upon that path. That is why God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul tried to get off that path. He sought the Lord 3 times. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. That is the path I have for you, Paul. And Paul settled it. You never hear of Paul bringing that up ever again in the scriptures. He settled it. That was the way God had designed that man's walk, because he was to go through much trial, testing, for the sake of the gospel. And so is exactly the same for us. But I can assure you that whatever path God has for you, the grace will be there to walk it. That is why it's a miracle. And grace is part of redemption. Without grace, we can't be redeemed. None of us have any hope, any chance. So that path is also redemptive. It isn't a path any of us would choose. And there are always paths of deliverance. And that's why you don't choose them. But that path, or path you must go down, is a path of deliverance. What is this deliverance? It is to remove 2 things that God was doing with the children of Israel. We read it back in Exodus 14. Fear, unbelief. That is the path of deliverance. It's to remove those fears and that unbelief. Fear has torment. We notice that. That fear in the children of Israel really affected their confession. It really exposed their heart. They began to say, let's go back. You know, at least we're in bondage, but, you know, being out here, there are no graves out here. We're all going to die. We're all going to perish. You know? Isn't it amazing that here they are, they were crying out to God for nearly 400 years in captivity, wanting to be set free, and then when they get out, they talk about they want to go back again. That is man. That is the state of man's heart. And that is why these paths are also paths of deliverance. Because it is freeing you from fear and unbelief, which will always hinder your faith, your confession, your belief that God can and will do it for my life. So, what do we do if fear is present? What do? Well, we have hope. God didn't reject the children of Israel. He didn't turn his back on them because fear manifested. That is our Heavenly Father. He loves us. And so God hasn't turned his back on you or me when fear raises its head. And it has raised its head in all of us. So God doesn't turn his back on us. He still carried on with that redemptive plan that he had for the children of Israel. He has still determined that they were to pass through the Red Sea. That path was to carry on, and it was to go through the Red Sea out into the wilderness the other side. So even though there's fear, there's unbelief, God still says, that doesn't bother me, that doesn't hinder me. I will still fulfill the plan that I have for you. And on the way, what fear and unbelief will be there, God says, I will use those conditions in which to free you from it. Amen? And that's what he's doing. He's doing that with each one of us. Wonderful. Now, these paths have to have light on them. If God doesn't shine light upon these paths, then we're going to lose our way. And so God, as we read, He also provided the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so that was also to be a guidance and a leading for the children of Israel. And so that path that God has for you, because he doesn't want you to deviate or to get lost, he says, I will shine my light, my glory upon that path. Did you know that it is God's glory that it shines upon your path, upon your light? Did you know that? Let's turn to Psalm 119, verses 105. Psalm 119. Verse 105. You know this very well. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, here it is. Want to know the paths that we're on? It comes through the preaching. It comes through the word of God that you read each time. He says here that lightens up your path. It reveals the way for you that you should go. As I said, it's not a path that any of us would choose. You would not choose this path, I can tell you that now, in Jesus' name. But God says, because you wouldn't choose this, it's not what you would want, but I will light it up for you. And you will see. Why? Because we get lost otherwise. Without light, we cannot see. That's why we have to use headlights at night when we drive. We can't see otherwise. So God says, I'm going to light that path for you. And that is why there is no excuse for any saint to come off that path that God has put us on. Because he has provided everything for us to stay on that path. We come off it because we choose to do so. But he has provided. He's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us preachers and teachers so that it can encourage us to remain upon that path. And as bumpy as it can get sometimes, and it can get pretty bumpy, can't it? It can get pretty hazardous. But God says, I will keep you upon it. Because that is your deliverance. So when the path comes to an end, wait and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's all you can do. See, man still wants to be in control. If we could just come to that place and wait for the salvation of the Lord, for his hand to take over, we wouldn't go through half and a quarter of what we do. But because it's still those fears, unbelief, and we're people that can't wait, we're terrible, we're awfully impatient, we really are. And it's something God really has to work with us because, you know, as I said, that we often think that God is late, but he's not. But the point is that just wait and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's why we wait upon the Lord and we renew our strength. And waiting upon the Lord looks as though we're not very productive. Looks as though we're not doing very much, doesn't it? How many are really prepared to wait upon the Lord? To wait for the hand, the salvation of God. We should be out doing things. We should be out doing God's work. Well, you've got thousands going out doing God's work, or they say they're doing God's work, but I'm not sure that they always are. You see, there are no shortcuts to doing God's work. I'm doing God's work this morning. But I know to stand behind this pulpit, there are no shortcuts. And the same with you. That is what you're being taught. And if God is calling you to evangelize, or you're called to the fivefold ministry of evangelist, there are no shortcuts to evangelizing, witnessing. And that is the point. And that is why we see very little that goes on, I can only speak, in this country. Because most Christians are not prepared to wait on God to wait for the hand of salvation to work. Now, a true evangelist, as I see it, and I'm open to be proved wrong, but a true evangelist is a man who waits upon God for those souls that God is going to give him. And he's going to intercede, and he's going to pray, and he's going to wait. And when the timing is right, God will lead him and guide him where there's going to be salvation, whether it's in a house, whether it's out in the park, or hires a hall, whatever it would be. We are seeing today so much evangelism that is not really true New Testament evangelism. And that is a tragedy. That is a tragedy. And I might add that there are other ministries as well that we're not always really seeing that line up with the Word of God. And very often the problem is they're not prepared to wait. To wait on their ministry. Some men have to wait many years on their ministry. Moses, how long did that take? 40. You read some of these anointed men that God raised up. Many years God was dealing with them, preparing them, training them, until the time was ready. Why? Because God's work through ministry is always redemptive. And God isn't about to let that just fall on anyone and just abuse and misuse that. We're talking about souls making it into the kingdom of God. That's why it's serious. And you can't reduce it down to flippancy or, you know, something that's just not so important. Oh, well, if they don't listen, we'll go somewhere else. You know, there's such an attitude today, it's their problem if they don't accept it or whatever it will be. And there's some truth to that, because we know that the gospel, the teaching of the gospel, to some is life and for some is death. But I have a responsibility. Anybody preaching the gospel has a responsibility. And that responsibility is it's because it's redemptive. And the point is that some will hear and some will not hear. And am I doing in accordance right before God's eyes? Am I meeting the conditions? Have I ran out before God? See, these are all fundamental questions. And that is why I think we've not seen, up until yet, the greater works miracles, gifts of faith working, because there is a right time for that. And as I've already said, it's because that is also very much involved with the fear of God coming upon the house of God. So there's a right time for everything. And until then, what do we do? What can we do? We simply wait. We come to the end of that path and we look to the Lord and we wait for that redemption to take place, when the seas will rise up and part and we can walk through. There's nothing more you can do. And God doesn't want you to do it. He just wants you simply to believe and see the hand of salvation working in your life, in your family, your circumstances, your marriage, your children, whatever it would be. Wait on the Lord and see the redemptive hand of God part those waters. And He will. Amen. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you do love us. The times when it seems as though you've given up on us, or you seem a million miles away, but you are always there. You never leave us, because you said, I will dwell in you and live in you. And that is a great comfort, Father. And Lord, I thank you that in your love and mercy you have brought us again to this place today, to come and worship you and to praise you, but also to hear your word, because your word gives us life. Your word is like balm into those wounds. And Lord, even though at times we're battered, we feel we've been shipwrecked, or we feel we've come to the end of ourselves, or our circumstances are totally against us, Lord, you have that rod of redemption. And you will part those seas in that right time, because we're on the path that you have decreed for us. We're on that path that you want us to go down. But we find that that path comes to an end. But you don't come to an end, for you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And there's no beginning and there's no end with you. And it's only circumstances that get in the way and what we look at. But we also know, Father, that it is redemptive. And you are setting the captives free. You're setting us free from all fear and all unbelief. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And we praise you. And Father, I pray that you'll be with us through this week. Your hand will be upon us. That we will be a light in this world. And you'll preserve and keep us both going out and coming in. Till we assemble again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we've got a song or two.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.